Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans, our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. We've got a great show coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and Daphne's hottest new place for chow, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive. And we certainly don't want to overlook the Medicare lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, thank you to all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook for more information on the topics of the day. Coming up later on SBN, we will be joined by veteran John Kilpatrick from Vets Recover. He'll get us the latest info on the services that they offer for our veterans in the South Alabama area. And we'll also speak with veteran Charlie Wilson from the Charlie Wilson Agency. He will get us up to speed on health insurance updates and options for our veterans. And, of course, Tom's tirade on return to sender. You don't want to miss that. But first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by Sweetness himself, Mr. Nick DeMario from the Waterfront Restaurant in Daphne. Nick, welcome back to SBN, and thank you and the crew for your service to our veterans, military, and our first responders.
Well, Brother Nick hasn't made it in. I think he's run into a problem at one of his restaurants, so I'm expecting him to call at any time. But we can move forward there a little bit with some of the other things that you've got on your mind.
Well, absolutely. You know, of course, one thing I hope many of our I would think that many of our listeners probably watched this afternoon was the launch of Artemis II.
Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, that was incredible. You know, I remember watching some of those old grainy black and white moonshots from when I was a kid. And of course, I actually went down to Cape Canaveral to watch the space shuttle, one of the space shuttle launches. And, you know, there's always that anticipation because, you know, you're talking about a system that has millions, if not billions of parts in it, and all of them have to work just right. But it's interesting, you know, if you go back and you think about the original astronauts, you know, the whole The Right Stuff, which is a fantastic book if you've not read it. You know, all of the original astronauts, they were all basically test pilots. in one way or another, whether it was Navy, Marine, Air Force. That was their background, was going higher, further, and faster. And, you know, the irony for many of them was that they went from really being in control of the aircraft, which is what they were there to do, to really being strapped onto the top of a rocket. And it was kind of all the computers doing everything for them.
And it's unbelievable.
And even looking at that today, I don't, like, you know, you get people from varying backgrounds now. Very few of them have been pilots in the military. And so it's interesting, and it's great to see that we're back into space. And it is absolutely, you know, exciting to be able to watch. I think it's a 9 or 10 day mission that that they have undertaken. And so I, you know, Godspeed to them as they go on this journey, and we return back to the moon, and really with the sights well beyond that at that point.
Okay. I think we're bringing Nick up here on the line here too. All right. Brother Nick, your old bro is with us.
What's happening?
Man, I don't know. I figured you was putting out a fire over there.
I'm always putting out a fire.
Well, what's happening at all the big waterfront?
But, you know, with the weather change, all the restaurants are going crazy. And, you know, the waterfront and Sunset Point being the two premier waterfront property restaurants in Baldwin County, they seem to have found us these past couple of weeks. And it's been great.
Man,
music, new menu, book a party. The docks are getting we're getting the process of taking care of those new docks and getting all that taken care of. There's a lot of exciting stuff going on down there.
Well, it's just really awesome. Are you gonna be able to square away the docks out in front of the waterfront? And in other words, somebody's out boat riding in the bay or what have you, or if they down the bay, they want to get in the boat and come up there and eat, and they can do that.
Yeah, we're working on that, and that's been our plan from the beginning of getting that taken care of. You know, obviously this Sunday is going to be, you know, the bunny's coming to visit, and it's going to be a big brunch. You know, we've just been real lucky, Tom, as far as all of our properties. I mean, Waterfront has been named best seafood restaurant in Daphne 3 years in a row. Sunset Point just got named best seafood restaurant, best outside dining, best brunch. So, you know, we continue to just do it through great people. And you know what? We need people right now. With our business increasing, we're looking for all help. Great people out there, come apply, and we'll find a spot for you if you like to serve people.
And that's an all capacities, even in us cooking in the kitchen or whatever. Huh?
Kitchen, bar, servers, but you got to like people.
Yes.
And you
got
to like to talk to people. You know, you got to be servant leaders, and that's a must. And you have to have energy and enthusiasm. And if you have those components, we can teach you everything else.
Right. Then they can get with an organization and move forward with it. I see some of the people that are in management positions now that I've known over the years that started out as servers for you, and now, you know, like, you know, one of your managers, or two of your managers are now managers and assistant managers, and then you have the same staff in the kitchen doing the same thing. And your chef at the waterfront was chef of the year for Alabama?
Yeah, 90% of all the people that are in leadership for us were hourly employees that we grew internally.
Well, that just tells you the atmosphere and the amount of money that they can make there under those conditions and working without a lot of pressure. But man, I tell you, I know you run a little bit late trying to get on board with us here, but we appreciate having you on today, and we appreciate you working with us on the show.
All right, man. Looking forward to talking to you again. Thanks, Tom.
All right, looking forward to the MRE cook-offs, man. Armed Forces Day.
I got my Rolaids.
Gotcha. All right. I ordered 12 MREs so that we can have them to experiment with. So
sounds good. Thanks,
all right,
buddy.
Thank you.
And coming up on the other side of the break, I believe we're going to be chatting with Mr. John Kilpatrick from Vets Recover when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
John's in the house.
Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on the internet. And if you like to listen on demand, you can also catch us our regularly aired programs on the FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone. And Tom's Tirade is up on CastBox.fm. And it's always a pleasure to be joined now on SBN by veteran John Kilpatrick from Vets Recover. John, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service and your continued service and support for our veterans.
Hey, Cal, thanks for having me.
I tell you what, Colonel, it's a pleasure to have you on board here with us today. We're hearing so many good things about Vets Recovery and had the chance to go out there this past weekend for your open house and all, and I was just kind of blown away with the outdoor facilities that you have available there for, that our vets can go out and guys that maybe be recovering and all, or need something to do in your garden and all that you have behind the facility. I didn't realize that you had that much acreage there behind your clinic.
Yeah, it's a nice little oasis kind of right in the middle of Midtown, but we've got about 7 acres there and with the three buildings and you know, the work our team has done out in the garden is just phenomenal. And, you know, we actually have a veteran peer support specialist named Scotty Irwin, who is our master gardener. And she has designed an entire program around gardening, you know, to help folks recover. We call it Rooted in Recovery. But that garden is, we eat out of the garden. So our chef is out there, you know, kind of picking exactly what it kind of makes
right,
an
yeah.
out of the garden, which is just a lot of fun. And the guys that are in our residential program are, you know, able to work out there and kind of see the fruits of their labor and enjoy them. It's just a lot of fun and a lot of healing goes on back there, I think, as y'all saw on Saturday.
Yes, we can see that. You know, and I was really amazed at the idea that those were raised beds. And I thought, well, if a guy's in a walker or something, and even he's up, you know, he can get around, but he can't bend over or whatever, and or if he's in a wheelchair or something, it looked like they could still work on those beds.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Garden, really the whole facility, everything is wheelchair accessible and really made for, you know, every veteran in mind. It also makes a great classroom you know, I think it just speaks to the planning and the overall vision that we had for this facility and this capability is just, you know, we hit every single point and we really looked at, you know, how every single thing interacts with everything else and just making sure that when people get there, I mean, it feels like a resort, you know. I mean,
it's
a major healthcare facility. But it's really just a place where folks can come and be cared for, get the help they need, and just find a home. You know, it's such a great place to be, and really, you know, for me and our team, it's just an incredible place to work as well.
I thought it was just awesome for that. Those guys that maybe want to get out of the indoors and get out of the four walls and get outside and just meditate, calm down, and just absorb the weather and the sun and all. And you even have some swing sets and stuff like that all out there so that those guys can go out there and meditate and pray, do whatever they want to do, but just relax.
Yeah, well, I'll let you in on a little secret. You know, most of us that work at Vet Recovery, you know, most of us are veterans, and a lot of us are in recovery for our own, you know, mental health issues and addictions. And, you know, we go out there a lot, too. So, you know, you can just about any time during the day, you know, you can find staff out there. You know, I mean, my favorite thing to do is just go out and watch the bees. You know,
we've got
four beehives out there and making our own honey, and it's just fascinating. But it's just a great place to kind of walk outside and be reminded of why we're here and what we're doing and what the mission is, and you know, and it makes it easier to go back inside. Or you know, I mean, today we did I ran our outpatient group for our morning group this morning, and we just, you know, did it out there on the patio, out in the backyard by the garden. It's just a phenomenal place to heal, you know?
Well, it's just really, as you say, it is phenomenal. And another area, I was at the USA today, and we had a big area there of display. The different vendors and all were there, and we were talking to the students from South Alabama and the veterans that that came through there. But I had the pleasure of talking with two of the vets that had recovered at Vets Recover, and we got into their conversation about how they were doing and what they were doing, and they were just so blessed by the things that you and your people had been able to perform there, and now they're living a great life, they're moving forward, and they're recommending other veterans that need to, are in crisis, and that being said, there was a lady there that with the National Guard. Now, are you in the National Guard or Army Reserve?
I'm in the Army Reserve.
Okay.
Not for much longer. I
understand you're going to bail. But,
well, if you call 40 years, 3 months, and 1 day.
That's short. You're getting the short-timer's attitude. I can hear that.
That's right.
But anyway, this lady says, who are you with? She said, the National Guard. And I said, what do you do? She says, I'm in a, what did she call it? A preventative supportive group. I said, okay, country boy, what the hell does that mean? So she said, well, we have so many suicides in our service branches and in our National Guard in the state of Alabama. She's like, I think she said something like three this year or three recently. And I said, I had no idea. I said, I knew that Alabama was real heavy on the suicides, but I didn't realize that they actually had started some kind of services and all that would help generate some protective areas for our guys to get some help and ways to get some help. And people looking to be able to improve things on the facilities where they are performing their duties. And I just thought that was cool, and I knew that you might have some background on it. But then I'd also know that how many suicides that you guys and you personally have saved over at the Vets Recovery. It's just unbelievable that facet of it came up.
Yeah, it's. You know, there's a lot of improvements going on. You know, I was on that first. I think we called it the Governor's Challenge to End Veteran Suicide, and. You know, we did a lot of work on that Operation Deep Dive suicide study. And what I've come to know about suicide is they're all preventable. You know, every suicide is preventable.
I think too, John.
And I know.
You know for a fact, Professor.
And the key is that we know what to look for. And, you know, it's not the clinicians or the people that do this work that are out there. It's the everyday guys, you know, especially our fellow veterans. You know, it's you. It's Cal. It's all those other guys out there that just living their life, but they know a buddy. You know, I get those calls all the time.
Right,
hey, man,
right.
My buddy is struggling, and you know, that's what it's going to take. It's really, almost more community education and kind of, you know, getting folks comfortable talking to veterans and and being able to ask the question, man, you doing okay? You're all right. You think you hurt yourself? You know, all those things are simple to do. And, you know, we don't know to do them, or we got a little stigma about them. But, you know, that mental health first aid training that we do in the community is been a game changer. You know, we hear people come back all the time, you know, non-veterans. I mean, people just in the community that have taken it, you know, realizing how valuable that insight is to how, you know, not easy, but how simple it is to just check on somebody, and prevent, you know, not just a suicide, but any other kind of mental health crisis.
Sure, sure.
You know, realizing that folks are struggling and pointing them in the right direction, you know?
Well, it's just, I think you're saving lives daily with the facilities and the people that you have there and the organization that you have built.
There's no doubt. We hosted, we have kind of alumni night every Tuesday night, and we kind of did a big push for last night's event, and got a lot of guys that, you know, have been through our programs over the years, and it's just incredible to come and hear, you know, really testimony of people that kind of took the help, you know, and now they're in the community helping others, and that's really the, you know, that's the key is that we keep, you know, we keep turning it over and keep creating new guys that are healthy and well and in, you know, working their recovery and bringing the next guy, you know, and it's just a constant cycle. But it's incredible what we've got going on over there. You know, we're starting to kind of spread it out, let the rest of the state know what to do, you know, what's going on down here. And I think you're going to see Vets Recover really explode here in the state and nationwide as well. We've got a lot of national organizations finding out what we're doing here, and a lot of folks curious, because it's pretty unique, I think.
Well, you've not only blessed our veterans, and you continue to bless them, but you've blessed us being with us here tonight, and to our current Veteran of the Year, bless you, brother, and appreciate your service in so many different areas, and appreciate you taking the time to be with us tonight.
Thank you, Tom. I sure appreciate what y'all do, getting the word out. And, you know, anybody out there struggling, man, you know, we answer that phone 24 hours a day at 251-405-3677. And there's always a veteran on duty to talk to you if you're struggling. So that's the key, man. Y'all keep getting the word out there, and we'll keep doing what we do. And we sure appreciate y'all.
Thank you, sir. And on the other side of the break, we'll get with Mr. Charlie Wilson from the Charlie Wilson Agency when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg in Kimberly, Miss Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, and Daphne's newest eatery, the Waterfront Restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Agency, and we have Brother Charlie on board with us now next for an interview, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And as you mentioned, Tom, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by Mr. Charlie Wilson from the Charlie Wilson Agency. Charlie, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service and service to our veterans.
Well, thank you, buddy. It's good to be back. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, man, we're just kind of kicking and growling, you know. Can't get anybody to listen, but we're trying.
That's right. Same.
Yep, there you go. Well, man, being a veteran, and you being a insurance agency representative, you're a broker actually representing, I don't know how many, 8 or 9 different companies. If I decided to change my insurance, even though it's not at that period of time in the end of the year, first of the year, can I still do that?
So we have times to do that, SEP, special election periods. There are times when you can change if somebody moves here from another state or another county. The insurance you're with has to be in the county that you live in. So if somebody moves from county to county or state to state, somebody loses their group insurance going from group insurance to retiring or aging into 65, there's several times a year where you have special election periods. We do have, you know, AEP, October 15th through December 7th, that everybody gets to change. After that's OEP, January 1st through March 31st. That just applies to people on Medicare, which we just got out of. That one can't be advertised, but it is there every year. So if somebody's on a Medicare Advantage plan and changes, or they didn't change, they have another election period, January 1st through March 31st, to change. Everybody else is kind of locked in until October, but there are, you know, there's always reasons if you feel like you need to change. Sometimes insurance companies pull out during the middle of the year. They get locked out of hospitals or something like that. Then it's always good to reach out to somebody like myself and see if we have election periods available to them.
Right, right. Okay, so there are some possibilities, but they're very slim.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But that's why you want to reach out to somebody like myself or any Medicare agent that knows these and deals with these every day to help guide you. Because there are times where there's going to be times you can change that you're not aware of. So if you feel like your plan's not working for you, sometimes agents like myself can kind of guide you through different things you're going through and help you understand why it's that way. Some people just think that their Medicare plan's not working when it's not the plan itself.
Right, right.
It's Medicare that has changed rules. They change them in the middle of the year all the time. You know, I love to say our government's not working for me and you. They're working for themselves to keep themselves
that is totally
elected.
Well, you know,
it's a whole other story.
And I found it a lot of times. It says, well, the insurance company denied this or insurance company denied that. And then I see people go back, and I've done it on my own occasion, and go back and get checked. It wasn't the insurance company, the Medicare organization that controls the insurance company says you can't do this.
That's exactly right. So all the insurance company has to follow Medicare guidelines, and Medicare gets to spell out what's covered, what's not covered, how it's covered. The insurance agent, the insurance companies themselves have to jump through lots of hoops to get things done. They have to verify the coverage through Medicare and then what themselves they will do. But again, it's another great reason to have an agent, because the people on my book of business call me on a daily basis for something like that, because it happens all the time. It's happened to you. Me and you've had
Oh, yeah, we've had it. Yeah, I've had the problems.
Where
my wife has had
a doctor says... Yeah, a doctor says, I've sent this information to the insurance company. You call the insurance company. They said they haven't gotten it, and you're in limbo. The individual's in limbo. So somebody that has contacts at those agencies or those insurance companies that can call on your behalf or call with you to help walk you through what you need to know. Because we do this every day. So it takes a lot of stress off the individual to have somebody to help them. So, you know, we're always fighting that every day. The insurance company says one thing, the doctor says one thing,
but
the member's just literally trying to get taken care of.
Well,
I've had back problems for a month. I just want to get out of pain.
Yes. One of the reasons that Cal and I've got so many of you insurance people on the show here is because a lot of our listeners are senior citizens like myself. And I know that in the 20 years that I've been on Medicare, I've tried three or four different insurance companies, and I've had four, five, six big problems under certain conditions.
Yeah.
And so in trying to delve through that and get to the bottom of it all so that I would be able to explain it to one of my listeners or something or somebody to call me and ask me about it, I had to get with you guys and study it. But what I found is, and we're seeing a gazillion, I'm talking about a gazillion damn phone calls a week from these people now. They're calling that they want to talk about your Medicare. You're not getting all the advantages that you are entitled to, and you should be getting money back, you know, on your card so that you can buy groceries and pay bills and all that. But they don't say that there's a very minute amount of people that are entitled to that, and the fact that it has to do with how much money you make.
Listen, it is a 100% marketing scheme to make their phones work.
It is totally
ridiculous. And I get that call 10 times a week.
Yes.
It should be illegal for them. It's illegal for me. I can't pick a phone up and call your brother. You said my brother wants to know about insurance. Can you call him? He has to call me.
Right.
I cannot make an outbound call about Medicare. But these marketing companies can, they'll do a drop call where it calls the individual. The individual picks up and it says, do you want to hear if you've got all your benefits? And when they say yes, now it's an inbound call.
Right.
So they're skirting around these things, and it is 100%.
Yeah.
They don't check your doctors, your medications. They're going to ask you what zip code you're in to begin with to see if you even qualify for any Medicaid or low-income subsidy, which had these. And the government's cut way back on the extras, as everybody's seen this year.
They cut last year to this year.
They're $300 a month for food, and this year they don't even have it. So there's been a huge cutback on all the extras and what Medicare will allow. Medicare had a ton of changes
this
year.
Charlie, it wasn't your changes, though. It was Medicare forced you to do
Medicare,
that.
Yes. 100%, that's correct. So, like last year, if somebody had low-income subsidy or Medicaid, the insurance companies for the last about 8 years could pay for their medications, and now they can't. Everybody has to pay through the whole country has to pay for their medications. And when you have people on 20 medications, and I know it's just $4 a month in some cases, that's a lot of money for these people that are already on Medicaid.
Well, they're already sweating buying groceries, you know, and everything keeps going up, and gas has gone up to $4 a gallon. And where I would really like to voice my opinion in that regard is that I like for an insurance person to come to my house and sit in my couch or my chair and look at me eye to eye and let me talk to him and let me ask them the questions that I want to ask, give them my problems, and let them solve them to the best of the ability that's out there, and tell me what insurance company is best for me. And get me a list of your let me give you a list of my medicines, and here, check these medicines. This policy we're looking at, does it cover this?
Yeah.
Stuff costs $200 to $300 a month.
Exactly. And I mean, there's a company like Humana this year who all the diabetic medicine is tier 3 or tier 4. Well, they don't have a deductible on tier 3, so it's the best plan for most people on insulin this year, because they don't have a big deductible where everybody else has a $200, $400, $600 deductible. So, you know, somebody like me that has every plan, there's a lot of agents like me. We represent every plan in the state. And there's over 40 Medicare Advantage plans in Mobile and Baldwin County.
Yep.
It's insane. But our job is to know them inside out and do exactly what you said. Come out, sit down with you, make sure you understand the benefits. Here's what plan's going to best suit you this year. Here's why.
Well, give me a phone. Give me a phone number so they can reach you. We're running out of time.
251. Yes, sir. 251-370-0251 is my personal cell phone number. If anybody
has
questions, they can call me or text me at 251-370-0251.
All right, Charlie. Appreciate it. Charlie Wilson, Insurance Agency, a good Army veteran, a good friend. I personally recommend him. He will treat you right, brother. And on the other side of the break, my tirade on Return to Sender.
Coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
It is hard to make this stuff up. Yesterday, dozens of Democrats voted against a non-binding resolution in the House that reaffirms Iran as the largest state sponsor of terrorism. The resolution, put forward by Representative Brian Mast, Republican from Florida, passed nonetheless by 372-53 vote on Thursday, with all of those voting no being Democrats. No surprise, among those who voted against the measure were all the members of the squad, such as Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cortez, Democrat barista from New York, Somali Rep. Ilhan Omar, Democrat welfare fraud queen from Minnesota, Representative Ayanna Pressley, a Democrat anti-Semite from Massachusetts, and Representative Rashida Tlaib, Democrat Hamas sympathizers from Michigan. Each of the women, I guess we can call them women, are dedicated American-hating Marxists. Well, maybe not AOC. She was just a prettiest to show up for the audition, who are only electable because of the high immigration population, both legal and illegal, in their districts. Omar should be thrown out of the country for immigration fraud and fostering the billion-dollar theft of taxpayer money in the state of Minnesota, most of which was funneled to terrorist organizations and warlords in Somalia, and probably into Omar's family coffers as well. Of course, these are the same Mensa members who went to blame white Christian males for everything that is wrong in this country and the world. However, they might want to take a bit of a history lesson before blaming Christians for events today that are a consequence of conflicts that happened more than 1,000 years ago. Yes, the Crusades were bloody, but they were largely in response to Muslim intrusions into Europe. That's right. Even in the barbarisms of the day, when Muslims were selling their fellow travelers into slavery, the Crusades were a response to Muslim aggression, unprovoked attacks, and debauchery. And with regard to the Crusades, the eminent historian Bernard Lewis in 2007 spoke to the American Enterprise Institute and has been widely quoted, "I would not wish to defend the behavior of the Crusaders, which was in many respects atrocious." But let us have a little sense of proportion. We are now expected to believe that the Crusades were an unwarranted act of aggression against a peaceful Muslim world. Hardly. The first papal call for a crusade occurred in 846 CE, when an Arab expedition from Sicily sailed up the Tiber and sacked St. Peter's in Rome. A synod in France issued an appeal to Christian sovereigns to rally against the enemies of Christ and the Pope, Leo IV. Offering a heavenly reward to those who died fighting the Muslims. A century and a half and many battles later, in 1096, the Crusaders actually arrived in the Middle East. The Crusades were a late, limited, and unsuccessful imitation of the Jihad, an attempt to recover by holy war what has been lost by holy war. It failed, and it was not followed up. In other words, we fought the good fight and left them with much of the Middle East, including the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, upon which the Muslim invaders planted a mosque over one of the most holy sites of Christianity. Sounds like a perfectly peaceful and well-meaning religion to me. But let's look a little bit closer at the peaceful religion to which this squad gives such deference. In 732 AD, a Muslim army which was moving on Paris was defeated and turned back at Tours, France, by Charles Martel. In 1571 AD, a Muslim army navy was defeated by the Italians and Austrians as they tried to cross the Mediterranean to attack southern Europe in the Battle of Lepanto. In 1683 AD, the Turkish Muslim army attacking eastern Europe was finally defeated in the Battle of Vienna by German and Polish Christian armies. This had been going on for 1,400 years, and half of our politicians don't even know it. Give me a damn break. If these battles had not been won, we might be speaking Arabic and Christianity could be non-existent. Judaism certainly wouldn't be. And let us not forget that Hitler was an admirer of Islam. The Mufti of Jerusalem was Hitler's guest in Berlin and raised Bosnian Muslim SS divisions, the 13th and 21st Waffen SS divisions, who killed Jews, Russians, Gypsies, and any other subhumans. In 1783 AD, when the British colonies that would become the United States of America gained independence from Great Britain, five Muslim countries of North Africa declared war on our newly independent nation, hijacking and kidnapping merchant sailors and selling them for ransom or into slavery. When the United States of America was established, we were forced to pay extortion fees amounting to a majority of our federal budget to those Muslim countries to keep them from their hijacking and kidnapping. It took two administrations, Washington and Adams, to build a sufficient navy so that President Jefferson in 1805 could send the Navy and Marines to conquer Tripoli and end the piracy. Islam has been at war with the USA since our founding, not because of our freedom and culture, but because we refused to bow to their stone age religion, which diminishes the human being to property at the will of unelected fanatical imams and ayatollahs who slaughter people because of comic drawings and who rape history in order to give birth to the next generation of fanatics. If this little bit of history is a little too far afield for you, then maybe some more recent examples might bring you into the light. How many of you remember? Number one, in 1968, Bobby Kennedy was killed by a Muslim male. Number two, in 1972, at the Munich Olympics, athletes were kidnapped and massacred by Muslim males. Number three, in 1972, a Pan Am 747 was hijacked and eventually diverted to Cairo, where a fuse was lit on final approach. It was blown up shortly after landing by Muslim males. Number four, in 1973, a Pan Am 707 was destroyed in Rome, with 33 people killed when it was attacked with grenades by Muslim males. Number five, in 1979, the U.S. Embassy in Iran was taken over by Muslim males. Number six, during the 1980s, Americans were routinely kidnapped in Lebanon by Muslim males. Number seven, in 1983, the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut was blown up by Muslim males. In 1985, the cruise ship Achille Lauro was hijacked and a 70-year-old American passenger was murdered and thrown overboard in his wheelchair by Muslim males. A 70-year-old in a damn wheelchair? Yeah, that's the kind of peace-loving religion I want to bow down to. Number nine, in 1985, TWA Flight 847 was hijacked at Athens, and a U.S. Navy diver trying to rescue passengers was murdered by Muslim males. Number 10, in 1988, Pan Am Flight 103 was bombed by Muslim males. Number 11, in 1993, the World Trade Center was bombed the first time by Muslim males. Number 12, in 1998, the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania were bombed by Muslim males. Number 13, on 9/11/01, four airliners were hijacked. Two were used as missiles to take down the World Trade Centers, and of the remaining two, one crashed into the U.S. Pentagon, and the other was diverted and crashed by the passengers. Thousands of people were killed by Muslim males. Number 14, in 2002, the United States fought a war in Afghanistan against Muslim males. Number 15, 2002, reporter Daniel Pearl was kidnapped and beheaded by a Muslim male. Number 16, in 2013, Boston Marathon bombing. Four innocent people, including a child, killed. 264 injured by Muslim males. Number 17, 2014, thousands of Christian men, women, and children are slaughtered, defiled, and beheaded by Muslim males, and millions of Muslims and non-Muslims are held hostage in Syria, Iraq, Somalia, Yemen, and countless other places throughout the world. End of this strike home to you for the progressives to love to listen to SBN because it gives you more of a rise than your latest bong hit does. Does the magnitude of the evidence overwhelm even your THC-addled minds? Probably not. It's hard to get over the TDS. Any of the new and refreshing stuff that the rest of you missed in school? I don't know. Any of it makes so much damn common sense that you now realize exactly who we are up against? A damn man. Come on, guys. And when taken as a whole, yeah, do you now understand just how much we are at war with Muslim Marxist fanatics? Within our own country and even in our own government, just how blind they must be to reality to ignore the weight of history that we are facing. Unless this is just another part of transforming our country into a caliphate of slaves and submissives. No, maybe, just maybe, the answer lies in what we, the good, honest, decent, hardworking, dedicated veterans of America, are not doing, demanding some real action in order to root out these Islamo-Marxists from our government and our country and return them to the third world hellholes from which they came. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. President Trump, keep the pedal to the metal. Detain, deport, and decapitate the head of this traitorous snake here in our country. Now, damn it.
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Boom-shaka-laka-laka, 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 boom-shaka-laka-laka.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM. And you're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple old Marines, with just a little bit to say the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, great information there. The problem that I think we really face with so many in this country is that we have allowed a generation or more to be brought up to really hate the country.
Yes,
and so many have bought into it, and of course now they have. We actually have supposed leaders in our institutions, even within the government, that are enacting or trying to enact policies that would continue to move in that direction. So. We just got to keep our fingers crossed that we will be able to steer the ship back in the right direction, hopefully, with some of the things that President Trump and this administration will be doing with regards to Iran will help with that. So that's all we can really do is just continue to pray for our leaders and pray for the nation. And speaking of that, happy Easter to those of you who celebrated. Happy Passover to our Jewish brethren. And please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.